Tonight, campaign cliffhanger. 8 days to go. The FBI review now underway into Clinton aide Huma Abedin's emails. How quickly can they get it done? Tonight, the FBI director under fire, and a surprise in our brand new poll. NBC News exclusive. Law enforcement sources say the FBI has been conducting a preliminary inquiry of Donald Trump's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, and his business ties overseas. Voice of a killer. For the first time, we hear chilling 911 calls made by the Orlando gunman during the deadliest mass shooting in modern American history. And fatal distraction, Snapchat video from inside a car going 115 miles an hour, minutes before slamming into a minivan, killing a mother and her children. Is the app causing kids to drive dangerously? Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. The October surprise that rocked the race for president on Friday may not have rocked it enough to move the needle with voters, at least not yet. The new NBC News SurveyMonkey poll shows Hillary Clinton ahead of Donald Trump by 6 points in a four-way matchup. And notably, there is no change between the Monday through Friday numbers and those from over the weekend, after the news broke that the FBI was looking into newly discovered emails related to Hillary Clinton's time as Secretary of State. FBI Director James Comey made his surprising announcement before those emails had been examined. But tonight, NBC News has learned that process is underway. Our Pete Williams has been breaking developments in the story all weekend and has late details for us.
The FBI's been at it now for about 24 hours, starting the work just after getting a search warrant to analyze the thousands of emails discovered on former Congressman Anthony Weiner's laptop during a separate investigation of him. The big question, will these emails shed new light on the investigation of Hillary Clinton's private email server? Tonight, officials say no answer yet. The Clinton campaign says Weiner's wife, top aide Huma Abedin, doesn't remember using it, so another question, how did they get there? It's possible, computer experts say, she used it and forgot, or emailed him and either way unintentionally launched a backup. The answers are on one of these, a hard drive from a laptop computer. Officials say the FBI has already made an exact copy of the one on Weiner's laptop. That copy, not the original, is being analyzed by the FBI in a computer forensic lab like this one.
This is a great way to make sure you preserve the data intact the way it was and work off that copy so you don't accidentally and inadvertently ruin the evidence itself.
Most of the process is automated, weeding out emails that aren't hers, narrowing those down to ones sent or received while Clinton was Secretary of State, then eliminating any that are duplicates of the thousands already seen in the Clinton investigation. Those left will be examined to see if they could contain classified information. But until the FBI has some results, officials say Director James Comey has no plans to say anything further or expand on what he told Congress last Friday about finding the Abedin emails. That disclosure violated Justice Department policy, but tonight the department says in a letter to Congress it's committed to move as expeditiously as possible. Tonight, officials say the FBI's work on the hard drive is moving along without any technical problems. They declined to say how long it's going to take to get the answers. There is less optimism tonight that it can be done before Election Day, but at this point, nobody knows for sure. Lester?
All right, Election Day is the one everyone's watching, Pete. Thanks. 8 days to go. Both campaigns still scrambling to respond to this late stunner. Hillary Clinton and her supporters questioning the timing by the FBI director so close to the election. And the Trump campaign seizing what it sees as an opening. We have it all covered, starting with NBC's Andrea Mitchell on the trail in Ohio with late developments. Andrea, good evening.
Good evening, Lester. The Clinton campaign seizing moments ago on a new report that FBI Director James Comey was reluctant to publicly blame Russia for cyber-hacking Democrats this close to the election. They called that a jaw-dropping double standard given the revelations about top Clinton aide Huma Abedin. This, the latest Clinton slam on Comey. Tonight, top Hillary Clinton aide Huma Abedin not on the trail with Clinton, as Clinton intensified her attack on FBI Director James Comey, trying to rally the base and reassure undecided voters about the email controversy.
I'm not making excuses. I've said it was a mistake and I regret it. And now they apparently want to look at emails of one of my staffers. And I am sure they will reach the same conclusion they did when they looked at my emails for the last year. There is no case here.
Just a few months ago, Clinton and other Democrats praising Comey for not pursuing criminal charges against her.
I am grateful for the professionalism of the FBI.
He's somebody with the highest standards of integrity.
This is a great man.
Clinton supporters now taking shots. Former Attorney General Eric Holder writing, "Good men make mistakes. In this instance, Comey has committed a serious error."
I call it an October betrayal of long-standing FBI protocol.
But the White House notably not joining the chorus.
I'll neither defend nor criticize Director Comey has decided to communicate to the public.
Tonight, the Clinton campaign saying it was blindsided by the FBI's announcement and expressing confidence in Abedin. Considered a surrogate daughter, Bill Clinton officiating at her glamorous wedding to Anthony Weiner. And after Weiner's sexting scandal, his wife taking part in a documentary intended to revive his political career.
Harry, thank you.
It's like having a nightmare.
Now a new nightmare for the Clinton team, what feels like a punch in the gut to staffers. Concerns not so much about losing, but the impact on Democrats in tight Senate races. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Cincinnati, Ohio.
I'm Hallie Jackson in Michigan, where on Halloween, Donald Trump's supporters may be walking dead, but tonight, their candidates finding new life on offense.
Good job, Uma. Thank you, Anthony Weiner.
The latest FBI story giving Trump an opening.
We can be sure that what is in those emails is absolutely devastating.
But nobody really knows what's in those emails, not even the FBI yet. That's not stopping Trump from hitting Clinton on those messages and on the latest WikiLeaks release of stolen emails, which NBC has not authenticated, showing Clinton's campaign may have been tipped off to a primary debate question by the now head of the Democratic National Committee.
Could you imagine if I did that? Bobby, what would happen to me if I did that? Electric chair, I think.
Trump getting backup from basketball coach Bobby Knight in Michigan, one of several blue-leaning battlegrounds he's in. His goal? Force Clinton to play defense and make a final play for Rust Belt voters. The problem, polling shows Trump behind in those might win states. Yet he hasn't locked up the must wins, like Florida and Ohio, where margins are razor thin. Now, Trump's also facing new questions about his charitable donations, with the Washington Post reporting on his 1996 visit to a school for children with AIDS.
Trump hadn't given them money. He wasn't invited to the fundraiser. He was not a donor at all, but he showed up anyway, and actually stole a seat on the stage that was reserved for another donor.
Tax returns would show how much Trump's given. He hasn't released those returns for the next 8 days, looking to focus not on himself, but on his rival.
It's a time where the prize is clearly within view, and staying on message is an essential step to getting that prize.
Trump's aides see attacking Obamacare as especially effective, which is why a top advisor tells us Trump will focus on that tomorrow in suburban Philadelphia, another area where he's making a play, but playing from behind. Lester?
Hallie Jackson in Michigan. Thanks. So let's bring in our political director, the moderator of Meet the Press, Chuck Todd. Chuck, all along this race has seemed impervious to damaging moments and events, and it seems to be the case here. How do you explain it?
This has been a remarkably stable election because we have two nominees that were so well known, well defined, and frankly, already unpopular. So there's just not much more negative news, especially when it's negative news that reaffirms a belief that was already out there. So when it comes to emails, you know, Hillary Clinton herself said it at her Friday night press conference. She believes a lot of it is baked in, and I think that's what the polls are showing. Now, here's where I think it does have marginal impact. It's had marginal impact on enthusiasm, particularly Republican enthusiasm. What does that mean? It's possible, Lester, we are now headed for a result that looks more like a generic D, generic R, or the 2012 result, a little more of a traditional red-blue map, traditional turnout on both sides. So if it did anything, it may have just bumped up Republican enthusiasm just enough to keep things more competitive all the way up and down the ballot.
All right, 8 days to go. Chuck Todd, thanks very much.
You got it.
Meantime, tonight, as the FBI continues to review those emails, NBC News has learned of another situation involving the FBI. Law enforcement sources say the feds have launched a preliminary inquiry into Donald Trump's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, looking into his business ties overseas. We get details on that from our senior investigative correspondent, Cynthia McFadden.
into the gasoline, Democratic leader Senator Harry Reid threw a match yesterday in a letter to FBI Director James Comey criticizing his decision to notify Congress of the newly discovered Huma Abedin emails, perhaps relevant to the Clinton investigation. He drops this bomb. In my communications with you and other top officials in the national security community, it has become clear that you possess explosive information about close ties and coordination between Donald Trump, his top advisors, and the Russian government. What is Senator Reid talking about? Law enforcement and intelligence sources tell NBC News today the FBI has been conducting a preliminary inquiry of Donald Trump's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, and his foreign business connections. When NBC News asked the FBI to comment on the inquiry, the FBI did not respond.
Americans have every right to be concerned about what they see in terms of Trump advisors and their closeness with the Kremlin, Trump's policies vis-a-vis Russia, Trump's potential financial interests in Russia.
Paul Manafort was reportedly paid $12.7 million in cash by pro-Russian politicians in the Ukraine. And NBC News can also report what some call disturbing ties to two oligarchs, one Ukrainian, one Russian, both billionaires. American officials say both have ties to the Russian mafia.
I think it does raise serious concerns about the policies that Trump would pursue if he were president.
While an inquiry is a preliminary look and falls short of a criminal investigation, in this highly charged atmosphere, it has some arguing that Comey is using a double standard.
Here, where the director has discussed an investigation involving one candidate, it opens the director up to claims of bias if he doesn't discuss other potential investigations.
Paul Manafort tells us tonight none of it's true. There's no investigations going on by the FBI that I am aware of. As for Donald Trump, tonight his spokesperson told us Mr. Trump severed his ties with Mr. Manafort many months ago. Mr. Trump has no knowledge of any of his past or present activities. Lester?
All right, Cynthia McFadden, thank you. This evening we're hearing for the first time the voice of the killer during the largest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. Police in Orlando have released the audio recordings from the Pulse nightclub massacre between the gunman, Omar Mateen, and a crisis negotiator. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has late details.
The chilling 911 call came in at 2:35 a.m.
I want to let you know I'm in Orlando, and I did the shooting.
By then, Omar Mateen's rampage was underway, and hundreds of people were scrambling to escape the Pulse nightclub in Orlando on June 12th.
I pledge my allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, Hafidullah, on behalf of the Islamic State.
The killer, at first speaking with an emergency dispatcher, then a police crisis negotiator.
Can you tell me where you are right now, so I can get you some help?
No, because you have to tell America to stop bombing Syria and Iraq. They're killing a lot of innocent people.
He falsely claims there are cars outside rigged with bombs.
I'm going to ignite it if they try to do anything stupid.
Mateen then praises the Boston Marathon bomber.
My homeboy Tamerlan Tsarnaev did his thing on the Boston Marathon, so now it's my turn.
The negotiator keeps him on the line on and off for about an hour.
You're annoying me with these phone calls, and I don't really appreciate it.
A SWAT team swarms in around 5:30, killing Mateen. 49 people are dead, 53 wounded. Among those killed, 30-year-old Eddie Justice. His best friend, Demetrius Nollings, survived.
He opened fire and just killed innocent people and people who begged for their lives and cried out, please don't do this.
A judge will now decide whether to release more than 200 other calls during the carnage. Deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News.
Still ahead tonight, the final moments before a deadly car crash caught on camera using a controversial smartphone app feature that critics say urges drivers to speed. Also, it might be the scariest thing of all for parents this Halloween, finding the perfect costume for your trick-or-treater. We're back now with new concerns about a popular smartphone app used by millions, especially younger people. Snapchat is once again under scrutiny for its speed filter that clocks your speed as you take photos or video. As NBC's Kerry Sanders explains, a car passenger was recently using that feature right before a horrific, deadly crash.
Critical moments just before a horrific, deadly crash. This 10-second Snapchat video posted by a passenger in the car using a feature that records and displays their speed. First 82 miles per hour, then 115. Less than 10 minutes later, that same speeding car in Tampa slammed into a minivan. Five died in the crash, the driver and his passenger, and in the van on their way home from church, a 39-year-old mother, her 9 and 10-year-old children. Another 19-year-old daughter and 15-year-old cousin in the van survived and are in the hospital tonight.
We do question how it happened, why did it happen?
The Florida Highway Patrol says it remains unclear what role Snapchat played.
Had she not been doing, the videotaping, the Snapchatting, at the time, maybe he might not have been, performing this operation and driving so recklessly.
When moving, Snapchat displays a do not snap and drive warning. And in a statement, the company says, we actively discourage using the speed filter while driving. With more and more accidents from Georgia to Louisiana to Texas, all allegedly involving Snapchat, one question.
The only purpose in my mind is for folks and teens and kids to record themselves, show off how fast they're going.
Active Snapchat users say eliminating the speed filter from the app won't make much of a difference because users will simply point their phone at the speedometer. Tonight, the families of the victims in this crash are not commenting on the Snapchat video as they focus on making sense out of this horrible tragedy. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Miami.
We're back in a moment with the police chase and deadly shootout triggered in the manhunt for a double murder suspect. A massive explosion outside Birmingham, Alabama today sent a plume of smoke into the sky that could be seen for miles. At least seven people were injured as fire crews raced to contain the fireball at the scene. Officials say it happened about a mile away from the site of a recent gas pipeline leak. The company has now shut down its main lines in that area. The week-long manhunt for a dangerous fugitive in Oklahoma has come to an end in a deadly shootout. The suspect, wanted in a series of violent crimes, including a double murder, led police on a chase last night before he was killed in a gun battle with state troopers. NBC's Blake McCoy has more on the takedown.
The dangerous fugitive Oklahoma police had been desperately pursuing for a week was finally spotted by Don Williamson as he was gathering firewood on his property Sunday.
If we hadn't came down here, he'd probably still be here.
What followed was a final gun battle with law enforcement that left a sheriff injured and Michael Vance dead. The week-long manhunt began 150 miles away last Sunday, following another police shootout that left two officers injured.
I think I hit him twice.
Once in the shoulder.
Once in the shoulder and once in the lower abdomen area.
Vance posted his getaway on Facebook.
It ain't a joke. This ain't a prank. I'm going...
Vance was wanted for a string of violent crimes, including the murder of his aunt and uncle. Today, an accomplice was charged, accused of providing Vance medical assistance, ammunition, and trading him AK-47s while he was on the run. A seven-day manhunt finally over. Blake McCoy, NBC News, Hammond, Oklahoma.
We'll switch gears in a moment. And still ahead, it's the night every kid loves. But for parents, finding the right costume can be a real strain. Finally, on this Halloween night, trick-or-treaters are out in force in neighborhoods across the country. And this year, as many parents are keenly aware, kids are facing stiff competition to find the perfect costume. Here's Kevin Tibbles.
Ghouls and goblins on parade at Roosevelt Elementary in Burbank, California.
This is a big day for kids.
And folks, who could possibly be scared by awesome cuteness like this? Little darlings all worth their weight in refined sugar.
Oh, you like the Skittles.
But preparing for Fright Night can be a nightmare for parents, too.
The older they are, the more, demanding they are, so there is pressure.
Not too many years ago, costumes were cobbled together by mom over the kitchen table.
Who are you going to be?
That girl.
This year, Americans will spend almost $7 billion on Halloween, many migrating to Chicago's fantasy costumes, where, even this afternoon, parents were in a last-minute frenzy.
It was like last night that we had people here at 2 and 3 a.m. in a panic, trying to get stuff for their children.
Some are in hysterics.
Are you under extreme pressure to produce a good costume?
Kind of.
But the worst thing of all?
They don't have the size.
No.
Shriek. Horror.
Just remember, Halloween's only supposed to be scary, not a horror show.
Isn't that what parents are for? We just have that magic that just makes it happen.
Trick or treat!
So enjoy the little devils, whoever they are tonight. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Chicago.
Have fun tonight, kids. That's going to do it for us on a Monday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.